Hello out there, all you people on the go and multitaskers everywhere. This is Homeschool Mom Movie Maven, and this review is on Alita Battle Angel. My short take is that this is a fascinating animation slash real action mixed story based on a long-running Japanese manga series about a cyborg girl reconstructed and adopted by a human, and the dystopian society they both must navigate to survive. Who should go? Older teens and young adults only and up, for language and extreme violence. Beyond here be occasional spoilers. But the first thing I'm going to note is more of a warning than a spoiler. Alita Battle Angel is nowhere near a completed story. James Cameron takes a page from Peter Jackson's playbook, giving us great character introductions, wonderful interpersonal relationships, interesting and fearsome enemies, exciting battle scenes, and an abrupt, unfinished ending. A musical analogy would be liking it to ending a symphony on a dominant chord instead of a tonic chord, meaning a note that does not feel complete. Another way to look at it would be to begin the phrase, shave and a haircut. Anyone who has seen the brilliant three-part Lord of the Rings series or the bloated Hobbit trilogy by Mr. Jackson knows he likes to end his first story not exactly with a cliffhanger, but with a temporary break in the action, taking Donald O'Connor's advice to always leave your audience wanting more to heart. Jackson tends to end his initial installments at right about the place where one might choose to hit the pause button in the middle of a movie after one has had one too many sodas. Mr. Cameron, with Alita, has done exactly the same thing, starting with an involving, well-told story which then drops off a cliff. To be fair, this is on purpose. This is not surprising either, as Alita Battle Angel is based in whole and in part on the first four of a 9-volume manga series written between 1990 and 1995 by Yukito Kishiro called Gunnam, translated literally as Gun Dream. Alita Battle Angel, the movie, like the manga series before it, is about a cyborg girl rescued from a dumpster and reconstructed by a cybernetics physician in a dystopian society set about 500 years from now. The CGI was astonishing. James Cameron, who has been enamored of this manga series for about 10 years, said that he was waiting for the technology to become advanced enough to meet the demands of how he saw the film should be made. And he does not disappoint. Rosa Salazar, who plays the eponymous character, is quoted to have said, "I'm a walking piece of technology, so that made it actually quite easy to fall into the physicality of a cyborg." Photos of her show her dressed literally from head to foot in motion capture, including the unusual addition of two cameras on her face. Watching the behind the scenes was amusing, as the actress would have to subtly duck and weave around the other actor's head when coming close to avoid clobbering them with the extra headgear, which technology was, of course, CGI'd out in post-production. But the slight dance goes smoothly in the final product due to Miss Salazar's skillful body language and the technical prowess of the computer geniuses who brought Alita to life. Robert Rodriguez is the name of the titular director of Alita, but with James Cameron writing the screenplay, everyone knows that the direction is more of a co-production between the two of them. It's interesting to see Christoph Waltz as a good guy. Usually he plays very rough, sometimes cold-blooded or downright evil characters, such as being the most recent incarnation of James Bond's antagonist Blofeld in Spectre, or the chilling psycho-Nazi Landa in Inglourious Basterds, or the abusive, plagiarizing husband in Big Eyes. The list goes on. But in Alita, Waltz is a nurturing, protective creator-father figure, his normally scary edge giving believability to his side job, which we find out about later. Jennifer Connelly, whose pedigree dates all the way back to David Bowie's 1986 fantasy Labyrinth, is Ito's estranged wife and therefore Alita's titular mother. Mahershala Ali, who I mentioned in Green Book in my previous post, is the lead baddie's main henchman. Kian Johnson does a delightful job of charming Alita as the shady boyfriend Hugo in a mixed motivational character with shifting alliances that someone like Clark Gable might have played way back when. And here I must note that Mr. Johnson is a homeschooled kid. Check out his bio in usimdb.com or us.imdb.com, the link for which is in my post. There are also some very fun cameos which are designed for Mr. Cameron's hoped for sequel. Jai Courtney from Terminator Genesis, don't laugh at me, I really did like that movie, plays Joshugan, a champion in Motorball, a game of a gladiatorial nature that's played in Alita. Ed Norton, who is to Hulk what Tobey Maguire was to Spider-Man, close but no cigar, and also one of the stars in Collateral Beauty, for which I have a post in my blog, and Fight Club, and American History X, appears in a couple of don't blink or you'll miss it moments as the character Nova, the ultimate controller of the sky city of Zalem, who becomes Alita's nemesis and the target of her future goals to storm the said city. Both men have uncredited parts. Mr. Cameron explained that even if they did never make the sequel, that those characters were must-haves in the story and essential to show, even for a few minutes. And he said, if they did make a sequel, that they would want heavy hitters for those roles. Both men, Courtney and Norton, are friends with Cameron and working colleagues with him as well, so were more than willing to participate even in these tiny roles to help further the prospect of a sequel. The soundtrack, written by Antonius B. Hulkenborg, who goes by Junkie XL, is gorgeous and positively symphonic, creating a delightful variety of emotions from Alita's sweetly, almost fairy-like awakening in Dr. Ito's home to a Terminator-feel violent reflection of her experiences in the motorball battles against homicidal cyborgs during the rollerball-level lethal game. Now a bit of history to my reference. For anyone who is not old enough or geeky enough to remember the 1975 movie Rollerball starring James Caan, whose credits date from the iconic tearjerker sports game Brian's Song, to the ill-fated Corleone son in The Godfather, to the voice of the tech-befuddled dad in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, Rollerball is worth taking note of. Motorball in Alita, as presented in the movie Alita, is a duplicate of the murderous gladiatorial eponymous game played in the movie Rollerball, set in yet another dystopian ultra-violent society. It is obvious Mr. Kishiro is familiar with the story of Rollerball. There has been some controversy over the use of oversized eyes in Alita. Some say they are disturbing. Some say they are disturbing and off-putting. I strongly disagree with these naysayers. Alita's unusually large orbs perform a multiplicity of plot functions. For one, it highlights Alita as a cyborg. Yes, that is true. There is no mistaking her for a natural-born full human. For another, if windows are the eyes to the soul, then Alita wears hers not just on her sleeve right next to her heart, but right there on her face for all the world to see. Between the fine acting and the quality CGI, every subtlety of Alita's growing and changed emotions and character are there for the audience to relate. Large, disproportionate eyes are also a feature of small young creatures, including humans, puppies, kittens. It's one of the designations which mark an inchoate being, not just inspiring protective feelings of those around them, but signaling their fundamental innocence. While Alita does do some horrific things in the movie, it is from her training in her previous life and only done for the protection of others like Ido, her human friend Hugo, and even a stray dog. Now, keep in mind, as I'm explaining this, Alita has a couple of obstacles to hurdle to gain the attention and affection of a Western audience. The first and most obvious is, of course, the manga origin, which is a subset of an already limited demographic of comic book sales. The second is Alita's identity as a warrior cyborg, which could have been an automatic bias against her given the Terminator series. I think her preternaturally large eyes help create an almost instant connection to this character, helping break down those barriers. I thought the device clever, without being, if you will excuse the very deliberate pun, in your face, and quite effective. While animated and based on a comic book character, Alita is not for children. There is extreme violence, which includes dismemberment, crushed heads, and death. It is likely the movie might have been saddled with an R rating, and Cameron and Rodriguez not had the simple foresight to make cyborg blood obviously manufactured blue instead of a gory red. There is at least one gratuitous F-bomb uttered by Alita herself, and they even violate one of my personal taboos, they kill a dog. Though this happens admittedly out of sight, Alita smears the dog's red blood under her eyes like war paint before beginning her quest to defeat the tyrannical forces which have been unleashed against her and her ersatz family. As a result, this is not a movie either for the young nor the faint of heart. For a more mature audience, however, it is a spectacular and creatively told outing. It is interesting to almost feel the Japanese manga origins in the way the characters react in more restrained, almost Vulcan ways than an American audience might be used to. In addition, the plot moves along quickly and efficiently. It does not dawdle on relatively trivial points, which many similar genre American movies might languish upon. For example, there is a bit of tension created from Ido not telling Alita initially that the name he chose for her was that of his murdered daughter. In the original manga series, it was Ido's cat, but Cameron wisely, I thought, decided on a more emotionally compelling attachment. Honestly, in an American movie, this omission might have been held onto for a prolonged period of time, then left as a mid-first act or even mid-second act reveal. Instead, Alita establishes this secret only long enough for the audience to find out, then has Ido explain it to Alita fairly expeditiously. To avoid spoilers, I won't give any more examples, but suffice to say this style is adapted throughout the movie. Such choices clear the way for a more intelligent plot. I do recommend Alita, but only for an older audience of late teens, young adults, and up. It is refreshingly different and well-written. It features excellent acting, especially considering the massive amounts of green screen in the landscape and motion capture equipment on the people with which the actors must contend. The music is worth listening to all by itself. But do keep in mind the ending is very unsatisfying, albeit contrived purposefully so, as a build-up for the next installment. And remember, if you're listening in your car or on an iPhone, you can get the full original review, including pictures and links, at www.homeschoolmommoviemaven, Maven is spelled MAVIN.com. And take it from a homeschool mom. Education doesn't always have to come from a book. Sometimes it can come from a creatively and well-told movie.